All right, here we are, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and if you can and are able, if you don't mind, would you stand with me to honor God's absolutely perfect Word? It's inerrant, it's infallible. Friends, that means that it can't record error nor teach error. It's absolutely perfect because God's the one who inspired it. He breathed it out, and hallelujah, He promised us that He'd preserve it. And you and I hold the very Word of God in our hand this morning in the old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen! You can trust it with your soul for eternity, and you can trust it with the problems of today. Well, I feel better now that we can get started. Here we go. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, I realize America has a lot of problems, but I'm thinking we live in a land of milk and honey too, don't we? Yes, sir. All right, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Father, we're before you this morning. We're excited about this week. Here we are on the beginning of it. I know it'll be over for we know it, but I pray that you'd help all of us to be here. We're praying for the lost to be saved, the saved to be encouraged and strengthened. Lord, praying for sin to be dealt with, confessed and repent, restored. Lord, praying for revival. Meet with us now and meet the needs of this assembly in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to take a look this morning at the love of the children of Israel had for God and allow it to challenge our love for God today. Here we're headed for Your Whole Heart Sunday next week. We've got a whole week to ramp up for this, but don't put that off because it'll be here before you know it. So we're going to allow the Lord to do a work this week, and I pray time we get to next Sunday, where it'll be right in the midst of a revival, and God will just use His Word to fan the flames, and we can see Him do a greater work yet. Did you realize that, let me grab this here, I usually get a little thirsty when I'm working. Do you realize that any relationship takes work? It really does, folks. To have a healthy marriage takes work. We may deal with some with the home this week. We certainly will on Friday night at the banquet and allow God to strengthen our homes with His Word. But our fellowship with God takes work as well. Not our relationship, I guess by definition, because all the saving and the keeping us saved, that's on God. But the fellowship of us having a close walk and a sweet fellowship with Him, that takes work. And dealing with our homes, you realize that it's never going to work out right if you say, I know what the Bible says, but. You know, I had somebody there for counseling for their home, and they told me that. I know what the Bible says, but. I said, you know, it's never going to work out as long as you start the sentence just like that. It never will. See, God has to be first, period. And our spouses need to be second. Anything else, our priorities are messed up already. Have you ever heard of the example of the triangle where at the top is God and you're on this side and your spouse is over here, and the closer you become to God, the closer you become to each other? I kind of like that analogy. That's a good spot right there. So we can ask ourselves this morning, self, is God first? And is my spouse, is my wife second? And then we could play maybe a little Henri and then ask our wives, do you really think you're second to your husband? Well, I could get convicted. We'll move on here. We'll see what the Lord will do. But, folks, I'm not after some resolution for us to do better, be better, or try harder. I'm telling you right up front, my goal for this week, I'm after a lifelong commitment to God. I'm after a full surrender. Here's an old-time word some of us probably recognize, a full consecration. Lord, I love you with all my heart. And folk, that being backed up with a life of obedience to God's word. Today is a challenge to examine your love for God. But I'd like to just pause just for a second on a side note and say that I believe that everyone here already loves God. I'm not saying this by like, oh, well, these people don't love God. They need to get right and love God. No, I'm not saying that at all. Listen, I was in the prayer meeting this morning, and I heard these men pour their hearts out before God. You guys already love the Lord. I heard them praying for souls. You're already loving the Lord. Praise God, you're still running the buses. Hallelujah for that. That's starting to be a dying thing around our country. That's a sad thing, because there might be some little girl that still needs Jesus, folks. There might be some little boy going through who knows what kind of home life that come to church and somebody actually love on him a little bit and tell him about the Lord. Thank y'all. I know it's not profitable for a church. Buses cost money. In fact, it's probably a negative line in your budget. There's no doubt about it. But just one little one coming to Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo! Glory! That's worth it, isn't it? So I'm not saying that you don't love God. I believe that your church does, and I certainly know that your pastor and his wife, they love the Lord. But I also believe that in my personal life, there's room for my love for God to grow. How about you? That's what I'm asking God for this week. See, salvation is a relationship. It's not some dead religion. Salvation is not a list of do's and don'ts, and you have this ball and chain, and you drag it around going, I'm a Christian. I'm so happy. You want to be a Christian too? Well, that's where you're at. You do need church revival because you're messed up in your thinking. Well, I heard one brother say, that's some stinking thinking going on right there. So I have to ask you this question for us to ponder when we're going to look through this narrative of this theme through the book of Deuteronomy this morning, the Lord helping us. And here we are, ready? How much do you love God? And I know really. Zero means you could care less. 10, woohoo! Man, you couldn't love him anymore except he's in heaven. So where are you at between 0 and 10? 3.5? 4.75? 5.625? 6.375? So, Brother Dan, why are you using fractions? Because they're fun. Hey, if you used to be a 7.5 and you're running today about a 6.25, you're backslid. I didn't say outrun with the devil. I'm just saying you're backslid. If the pulpit represents our walk with the Lord and we're close and there's that fellowship. Hey, listen, folks, if you just take a step back, one step away from God is one step away from God. See, I don't believe for a second any of you in here, from what I know, the testimony of this place, I don't believe for a second that any of you are out here running with the devil. I don't believe that at all. But I know in my life, it takes work to keep this fellowship sweet. So if I'm here, oh, it's wonderful. But if I'm here, oh, I can still see God. I can still get a hold of Him if I need to. But there's this, what is that, 18 inches, maybe 20 inches? That's what we're after this week, are those 20 inches. Let's get back close to the Lord. And in fact, if you're at 4.75 this week, then I'm hoping by the time we get to next Sunday that you're sitting about a 5.5. Notice I didn't say 10. I'm being realistic. If you move in the right direction, God blesses direction. He doesn't bless position. Amen. So what direction are you headed with God? Yes, I love God, but folks, there's room for me to grow. And I would encourage you as well. So join me as we look at this Old Testament narrative that's been preserved for us in the eternal Word of God tonight in Deuteronomy, well, this morning, about loving God. Now, this is pretty exciting how it parallels the home. Watch what I mean. And here we go. So here's number uno. That's number one for English-speaking people. Okay. If you're taking notes, here it is. Ready? God's command to love Him. Now, if you're not taking notes, number one is God's command to love Him. You get the same message either way. Here we are, chapter 6, verse 5. Ready? It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And quite frankly, folks, that blows my mind. Why would God have to command you and I to love Him when He has done so much for us? It would seem to be natural for a child of God to love God the Father. But nonetheless, He commands us here. In fact, there's many passages that deal with this. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. So we could summarize it this morning by saying, we need to love God with all. Now, amen. So we're commanded to love God with all. And God has set some requirements for us. See, it's not some kind of emotional love, although emotions are involved, but there needs to be some substance behind our love for God, and the Scripture calls it obedience. Our love is action, His love is obeying the Lord. You can't untie that universal principle throughout the Word of God. So please know that our love for God is realized by our obedience to Him and His Word. Secondly, God requires some requirements for His people. Secondly, is God's requirement for His people. Now hold your mark in chapter 6, because we're going to kind of go back and forth in Deuteronomy. So put your little hanging down thingy or your bulletin or something there in chapter 6. And turn on over to chapter 10 with me. Keep your Bibles out. We're going to look through some different passages here. So number 2 is God's requirement for His people in chapter 10, verse number 12. And now, I love the sound of Bible pages turning, don't you? I think the Bible apps that we have on their phone are lacking. You need to have a sound bite so when you hit like Deuteronomy 10, it goes, and you hear the paper turning. Anyway, Deuteronomy 10:12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Here it is. "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." Verse 13. "To keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Did everybody see that "for thy good"? Hey, folks, God didn't give us His Word to be a pain in our neck or to ruin our life. He gave it for our good. And young people in here, hey, listen, your mom and dad don't have standards in your home to be a pain in your neck. They have them as the guidelines to keep you safe. And our Heavenly Father, He's given us the guidelines to keep us safe because He loves us. Not to try to hurt us, but it's for thy good. Amen. The fear of the Lord. Hey, there's some things that I did growing up because I feared my dad. Yeah, amen. I wasn't necessarily scared of him, but there was a healthy fear of him because he worked about 5 minutes away. He'd get off at 5. He could be home at 3 after 5, maybe 5 after 5. And if he said this, he said, "Hey, Terry, have the grass mowed when I get home." Guess what I did? I had the grass mowed. See, this wasn't up for vote. We weren't going to send it to Congress and debate it 6 months whether I should mow the grass or not. The kind of dad I had, you just had the thing done before 5 o'clock. That's how it was. Yeah. How many had a dad like that? Yeah, amen. 3 of us. Good. Well, there's some things we ought to just do for God because we fear the judgment coming. We will give an account of our life before the Lord. We're to walk in all His ways, to do things God's way, love Him. Now, there's some things I did for my dad just simply because I loved him, because I wanted him to be proud of me. The Bible says that God's love constrains us to do right. Did you realize, I'll just be very frank, when I was saved, I was 16. I was a renegade teenager going the wrong way. I was involved in the wrong music. And you know what actually helped me get off of rock music? Was my love for God. Now, I didn't understand all the things I understand about music today. And I believe that even before I even heard an evangelist come through and rip the face off rock music, hear the preacher preach against it, and I think he ought to, amen. But even before that, the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart. I remember I had a friend come over, and we always called each other in high school by our last names. Hey, Danford, come check out my new stereo. And I had a buddy with me, so we hopped in the back seat of the car, and he turns it up, and he had 125 watts on an EQ going to each channel in the car. So we sat there like this, you know. And the whole block heard it. But while I was in there, through all that noise, I heard the Spirit going, what are you doing? I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. And the lyrics of that breathed my heart for the very first time. It's like, the Lord's not pleased with this. Folks, we went from acid rock to CCM to Southern Gospel to sacred. That was about a 2-year journey. Now, I'm not saying that all Southern Gospel's wrong, okay? But if your favorite group's in the top 10, they compromise their socks to get there. I'm just saying that much, okay? So I'm not saying it's all wrong, but certainly there's no such thing as a good CCM song, okay? So just to keep this. So why? Because I didn't want to offend the Lord. Amen? See, when we serve the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, it's like, wow, I get to serve the Lord. I don't have... Well, I do have to, I guess, but I get to serve Him, and it's to help out in some small way. So between the command from God to love Him and His requirements to fear Him and obey Him, there isn't much wiggle room there, is there? However, God, He blesses obedience, and that's number 3. God's blessings for the obedience of His children. So you're in chapter 10. Turn on over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, let me show you this. Keep your mark in chapter 6. But in chapter 11 and verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season, the first and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I may send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Folks, let me put that where we live. God says there's going to be a satisfaction. There's going to be a peace. There's going to be a contentment. Hey, folks, do you realize what I just said? The world doesn't have a clue what I just said. There is a peace and a contentment serving God that is a gift from Him to His children only that are living in obedience to Him. You can't buy that. You can't even get that off of Amazon. It only comes from God. Amen. I encourage you this morning, if you're 18 inches away, swallow that pride and say, God, let this week be a stirring in my heart that I can wholeheartedly serve You and step back toward Him. Yes. That's what we're after, a stirring. I already mentioned, I know the church already loves the Lord, and I don't believe any of you are out living with the devil or running or playing games with him, but I'm after this right here this morning, asking God to send Gilead Baptist Church a revival, a stirring of our heart, where we get back in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and let it be sweet like it used to be. In fact, if there's ever been another time in your life that you've been closer to Jesus Christ than you are this morning, then friend, I'm not being mean, just stating the obvious, you're backslidden. I don't want to be in a backslidden state. I want all the Lord has for me. I want those blessings. In fact, God with the blessings, He also gives a very stern warning, and that's number 4, God's severe warning. Now hold your mark in chapter 11, but turn back to chapter 6, because we're coming back to chapter 11 in just a second. But look back in chapter 6 and verse number 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Hey folks, every Bible scholar I've ever read agrees that Egypt is a type of the world and sin and bondage and the slavery thereof. So when God delivered the children of Israel, He delivered them from sin, the bondage, and the slavery thereof. Likewise today, when we get saved, hallelujah, God has delivered us from the world, sin, the bondage, and the slavery thereof. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we've done that, we're to walk with the Lord in a heart of gratefulness and obedience to the Lord, expressing our love for Him and to Him. And ladies and gentlemen, lest you forget God. Because when He blesses us, we have the temptation to say, I got this. And I don't have this. And every time I get like that, smack, right on the face I fall. And so have you. Be careful here. We need to be careful that when things are going good, that we don't forget God. Now let me explain something about this forget God. That doesn't mean that if I'm over here, 18 inches away, or maybe even 3 feet away, he said, hey, Brother Danford, do you know God? I said, oh, yeah, I know God. I didn't forget Him. Well, that's not what that's meaning. When I'm forgetting God means I'm beginning to change a direction away from Him, not that I forgot who He was. And folks, right there is a problem with America. For the whole, we're not godless. He's just not first.
Yes.
He's maybe third. On a good day. Maybe fifth or 15th. He's just not first. Folks, I'm seeing a problem in the churches that belong to Jesus Christ across this land. That's where the problem is that the Lord's no longer first. Wow. See, when somebody gets saved and they start living for God, then God's going to bless them. And when He blesses them, they might start thinking, you know what? I did this. And then they're going to fall. And that happens. You lose that peace, that contentment. Look at an example back to chapter 11. Turn back over there. Keep your mark in 6. We'll be right back. Chapter 11, verse 16 says, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived. Now, how many's ever been deceived before? How many's deceived right now? I mean, how would you know? Because if you knew you're deceived, you're not deceived anymore. But you could be that you don't know you're deceived, so you might be deceived, but you don't know because if you did, you wouldn't be. Say that 5 times real fast, huh? Hey, wait a minute. That deceived part is saying, I'm okay. I'm all right. And notice the verse says, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside. So you're walking with the Lord, and you're thinking, I'm okay. And watch me. So you're walking with Him, all of a sudden you begin to turn aside. You're changing direction. And that direction is subtle sometimes. And notice the verse says, and serve other small g gods with an S and worship them. That's when you're in trouble. Because you change direction. You're going the way of the world rather than with God. Verse 17. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Hey, God wants us to understand that there's some very real consequences for loving other things with the love that exclusively belongs to God. Folks, when we become fond of the world or other things, and that fondness belongs to God, then the Bible says He's a jealous God. He wants that affection. He wants our love. He wants our dedication. Are you with me here? And how many's been saved at least 10 years? 20 years? I've been saved. How long have I been saved? Was it 40? No, 30. Oh, goodness. 40. I've been saved 40 years. Okay. Took me a minute there, but I remember now. It was 40 on January 27, 1980. Okay. 40 years. In that 40 years, you hopefully, or in 10 years or 20 years, hopefully you've grown in the Lord. Okay. So you're used to walking with Him, and we've begun to live or practice a Christian lifestyle. Now that's second to none. You can't beat the Christian lifestyle. But when you've unplugged from that sweet fellowship of our Lord, and you're going through the motions, or you get caught up in the machinery of Christianity, or the ministry, it's easy to begin to change direction and things steal your affections that belong to God. Think, well, is this a big deal? It's a big deal. See, what do you mean? Okay. Let me ask the wives here. All the wives? Wives, wives? Okay. Would it be okay with you if your husband was fond of another woman? Nothing's going on. He's just fond of another woman. Any wife say, yeah, brother, I'm good with that. I don't see any hands, preacher. Okay, man, how about you? Would you be okay if your wife was fond? Nothing's going on. Don't even go there. Just fond of another man. Any guy in here okay? There's not a man that I know would be okay if that would be reaching back here. Not to scratch his back either. You know what I'm saying, okay? Well, God's not okay with it either. And He's challenging our hearts this morning. He wants that love. He wants our devotion. He wants our that affection. Amen. And so, folks, it's so important to Him that He commands us to love Him, and then we are to pass this on to our children and our children's children. And here's some keys on how to run it in our homes is number 5. God's command to pass it on to our children and children's children or grandchildren. It's a command to pass it to our children and our grandchildren. Listen, our homes are under attack today. The culture is trying to undermine our homes. The political agenda is trying to destroy our homes and our churches. Our enemy's doing the best he can to destroy our homes. And our enemy, yea, the devil, loves to slip into our home and talk to the man and say, you the man. And we're like, yeah, I'm the man. And pride slips in, and that's where the contention comes from. We had a missionary a couple weeks in out of our church when I was pastoring, And he told me, he said, Pastor, my wife and I, we never fight. I'm thinking, you just lied to me, man. You just lied to the preacher. And then he says, we have intense fellowship. So what causes the intense fellowship? It's that pride. The devil likes to get in our homes, and the men are like, well, the reason we have that intense fellowship is because she thinks she's right. But I know I'm right. Yeah, it gets quiet sometimes, doesn't it? And I have Bible verse, Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. It also says in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Is it possible this morning that in our service of God, that our love for Him's cool off just a little. Oh, not out there, just a little though, to where we are deceived thinking we are okay and I'm right. We've got to be careful of that pride. If any of you were to stand up and say, hey, Brother Danford, I don't have a problem with pride in my life and in our family, we never struggle with that. Then I'll switch and preach on lying. Because you probably lie about other things too. Yeah, this is important, folks. So we have a responsibility here, and especially parents have a responsibility here, to teach them how to love God. Back in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine heart, upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And back in chapter 11, verse 18, therefore shall they lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. See, what sounds like what you just read. I'm pointing out the fact that God's repeating Himself, and He doesn't repeat Himself just to take up another page of Scripture. He's doing it for emphasis. And look at verse 19 of 11. It says, "And ye shall teach them, your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Verse 20. "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied." Now everybody look, 11:20, watch this. And the days of your children. Folks, did you realize that the length of your children's life depends upon your obedience to God? I didn't make it up, I just read it to you. In fact, look at it, it says, "And the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth." Let me read that last phrase again. "As the days of heaven upon the earth." Wow. God, in just a few chapters, He repeats Himself for emphasis. And I have a question, church. Is your home a touch of heaven? Is it like the days of heaven upon the earth? Hey, listen to me. I'm not trying to be cute or come up with some kind of little fancy saying. I got this from the Lord. God's intent for the Christian home is that your home be as the days of heaven on the earth. Where's your home? Our love for the Lord is tested in our living room first. It shows up in our relationship with our spouse. Are they second? It shows up in how we're raising our children. This is important. The love of God in our hearts should be manifest first in our home. And that expression, it ought to make our home like the days of heaven upon the earth. How many homes do you know that's like a touch of heaven? I hope this morning that your home is like the touch of heaven. If this, you think, Brother Effort, this is a long way from that one. We need this revival, don't we? I believe we do. I know I do. See, parents today, they kind of let the kids run the home. They control the games they play, the TV they watch, the movies they watch, what music they listen to, how they dress, where they go, who their friends are. That's messed up. The daddy's held accountable for his home. And he's the one who set the standards for there. And notice it didn't just say for thy sons, it said for thy son's sons. Another for your grandchildren as well. When those grandbabies come over, grandma and grandpa, they ought to enjoy your home like it's a touch of heaven. Doesn't mean that it's lawless and you're their best friend and you buy the latest game for them. The latest game for them might not be very helpful for them at all, especially spiritually. But they ought to sense the love of God there. Amen. Well, one thing about my grandma, she couldn't have met somebody 5 minutes until they could say, you know, I believe she loves God. That's just how she was. She didn't care who you were, where you were, what was going on. She just loved the Lord. And it's contagious. Amen. Sounds to me like if we say that we love God, then mom and dad are to order the home after what God says about it. Man, when's the last time you had prayer with your family? When's the last time you had family devotions? See, we're bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are God's. He said in Peter that we're to gird up the loins of our mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not facing yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Folks, that's how we're to order our homes. We're not to cave in to the latest Hollywood movie or the culture that's among us. Praise God you have a pastor that still holds to the King James Bible and preaches, "Thus saith the Lord." And to be quite frank, that's becoming more of a rarity today, but I'm kicking back against that. We need more men of God to just hold the course, stay faithful. Thank God you have a pastor like that. You folks ought to appreciate that. Not saying you don't, I'm just saying, hey, you have something special here, treasure it. So, well, we're not setting any records in attendance. That's not your problem. You love God with all your heart. God gives the increase. Thank God you're still out soul winning. I heard about that going on this morning too, about hallelujah. We just keep out there trying to reach them for Jesus, but when you get them in here, it's not anything goes. It's thus saith the Lord. Why? Because we love them. Amen. That includes our entertainment, our movies. What are you watching on YouTube? What are you streaming? What music you listen to? What books you reading? Where do you go? What do? Who do we hang out with? Folks, this is important. The Bible says in Acts 17:30, at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now cometh all men everywhere to repent. And it starts by mom and dad setting the example. And I'm thinking, what a great day would today be if moms and dads would gather around this altar up here and ask God to forgive their stinking pride, make sure that they have things right between one another and get things right there. Besides, it's fun making up and kissing, amen. For you married folk, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all look at me funny. What, y'all don't play kissy face something? Don't get me started. But then the daddy take the role and leading his family in the things of God. Amen. I love the Lord, but I'm being honest, there's room in my heart to love Him more. I believe I can grow. How about you? Folks, I've really dealt with the Christian home a little bit this morning and God's command for us to love Him. If you're here and you're lost, you have no clue what I've just talked about. Because you can't have a touch of heaven on your home if the Heavenly Father is not your Father. You need to get saved. And if you're here today and you've never repented of your sin, put your faith in Jesus, you need to be born again. I love this brother's testimony. He said, "Well, did you get saved?" It's like, "Well, I must have. I'm different." Amen. Well, I hadn't heard it put quite like that, but I liked it. Amen. That's why, if we're in Christ, everything's old, passed away, behold, all things become new. Amen. It ought to show up in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you, would you pray with me for, there are three things. Pray that God would turn these meetings into revival here at Gilead. Would you pray with me? Secondly, would you just purpose to be here? I mean, after all, if you love God, wouldn't you want to be in His house on Sunday night? And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we take Thursday off, and then we're back here on Friday with our sweethearts, amen, and eating steak. Who would want to come to that? Amen. And then back again Sunday to see how the Lord... Okay, that's number two. Number three, invite somebody to come with you. Any night of the meeting, any night of the revival works. But I'm asking you specifically, let's really push for a crowd on Wednesday, Friday night, and Sunday morning. Unless the Lord changes my direction, I know where we're headed. Any night's a good night for anybody to come. But church, let's really labor and ask God for a crowd of visitors on Wednesday night, Friday night, and Sunday morning. Amen? Would you do that?
Yes.
How much you love God? Hopefully it's not a 3.5. But if it is, are you willing to make the commitment to the Lord? I want to go ahead and bump that on up to 4 this week. You're 5 5/8. Then Lord, I want at least a 6.5 time the week's over.
Yep.
Amen?
Yes.
Maybe there's some things in your home right now you know God doesn't like. It's real easy application. Stop. How hard is it? If there's something the Lord's impressing on you that you need to be doing, start.
Yeah.
Amen. It's really that simple. The struggle is because my flesh might not want to or want to, and that's where we run into trouble. But let me love God more than these. It's marked by my obedience to Him. And then the joy and the peace. Oh, you can't. Man, brother, that's good right there. Give five. It's sweet. And if you're here and you don't know what I'm talking about, would you come and let Pastor I take the Bible and introduce you to Jesus? Or if you're one of the ladies here and you don't know Jesus, and one of our wives, be glad to take the Bible. And every how a preacher does it here, you take the Bible and introduce you to Jesus today. Amen? Amen. So I'm challenging the church today. Would you come and say, Lord, by the end of the week, help me to love you more in practice. The emotions will come behind that. I'm not downplaying the emotion, but I'm not after an emotional response. I'm after a practice. Lord, I love you. I'm willing to obey. The verse, search my heart. Ooh, that needs to go. Okay, God, I'm sorry for that. Help me get that out of my life. Okay, I'm going to quit that. Is that making sense? Okay, Lord, you want me to do that? Okay, the next time they're soul winning, I'm here. So, well, I can't go anymore. My knees aren't 25 and I can't do the steps. Okay, you go ahead and come. So, well, I just told you. No, listen to me. You go ahead and come and you pray while those who can go, go. Just see if that makes a difference. I know one other church began to do that. They started with one lady, now they have four ladies that come and pray while the rest go. It's changing the church. God is real good at setting up divine appointments. And if you got a team here praying at the altar and a team on the street knocking the doors, what do you think is going to happen? This is God's work. We can't do it. Let's just see what He'll do this week. Amen? All right, well, we got to land the plane here. Let's all stand and close our eyes and bow our heads and let's see what the Lord will have for us here this morning. If you've never been saved, I encourage you to come and repent of your sin and call on Jesus the Savior. And friends, He promised based on the Word of God, He'd save anybody that comes to Him. If you're here this morning now and you're one of His children, and maybe your love's kind of cooled off, 18, 20 inches, 3 foot, 6 foot. Oh, you're not out running with the devil, but it's not as sweet as it used to be. It's not as hot as it used to be. I'd encourage you folks, let's ask God for revival this morning.